Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, shalom, shalom. That's the first time I hear this this opening. It's really nice. So, shalom, everybody. I'm Ilan Azulay, and we started this program last week. I'm a spiritual mentor and a coach for women and couples that want to reconnect and reclaim their power. And how do we make conscious choices? So, I want to pick up on last week's topic, and we started in about connection and communication. I have my guest here. She's not late, like the other guests that are sometimes late. That's okay. We'll introduce her later. A wonderful guest. And the phone number here, by the way, for you to call in and to chime and to voice your opinions, questions, it is 818-602-4929. So, connection, communication. But before that, I want to start with what I usually like to start, and it's a daily prayer that was created by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, who founded the Chabad movement, the Chabad Hasidic movement. Hareini mekabel al atzmi et mitzvat aseh ve'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. Now I'll say it in English too. I hereby accept on myself the due commandment of love thy fellow man in the same expression that you love yourself. I'm not using the traditional translation of that prayer, because there is more to that. There is more to, if you think about it, the expression of love, the expression of any feelings that we feel, are these really us? Are the feelings really us? Are our thoughts really us? Or are they expression? Do we get angry? Or are we taking an action to anger? Do we feel what we feel? Or are we taking action or choice to feel what we feel? And how does it tie into connection and communication? So why are words important? You know, I said it out loud, this prayer, and I said this prayer, but we can say any prayer or any words for that matter. This is why this is called the Abracadabra show. We create what we speak, and Abracadabra is an Aramaic, an ancient language that says, I create what I speak, literally. It's not abracadabra, poof, I have a rabbit out of my hat. Although it's used as a loose term to express something that we are creating. But really, I create what we speak. And so I say it in the morning, but we start it at night. When we go to sleep, it's like a reset button. It's a reset button. Everything that happened that day, everything that we've experienced, everything that we thought, is really kind of being reset. And we go to sleep. And then when we get up in the morning, it's like a clean slate. It's like the ocean that is flat. So we can choose how to behave, how to act, what to say. And so that brings the question of how are our actions affected by our choices, and where do our choices come from? 818-602-4929. And with that, we will let you listen to something that will take into a little bit different direction.
você me mentiu. Meus sentimentos feriu. Porque você me enganou, me machucou, me abandonou, não voltou. Porque você me traiu. Se arrependeu, mas sorriu. Porque você me trocou por outro alguém e declarou ser o amor.
Oh, quanto tempo passou e você nem chorou. Não voltou, eu aqui ficarei. Triste caminharei, carregando essa dor.
Fiz tudo pra construir. Até fingir.
So that was Mati Kaspi. Mati Kaspi is a very profound Israeli musician, and he didn't sing in Hebrew. He sang in Portuguese. So we're combining here many languages. Languages. How do we create a language? Ties into our choices. Ties into our decisions. Into our feelings. We say something. What do we create? And the prayer that I said in the beginning really comes in Hebrew. And Hebrew is a very powerful language. Each letter in the Hebraic language... Hebraic? Yeah, you say Hebraic, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm asking. Was Hebraic. Yeah, the Hebrew language. Each letter, according to Kabbalah, is a channel for the divine energy to flow in. That's how names have their meaning, and names have bring the divine channeling of energy to each person. And so, just a quick talk about that. That the original Hebrew of the 15th and 14th century BC was really written in a script created by Hebrew scribes shortly after the Egyptian exile and Moses. So the Hebrew was the way Hebrew was written was until the Hebrew people took it into the Babylonian exile in the 6th century. Now some of the dead scroll were also written in the script, and then the rest was written in Aramaic. So that is why the word abracadabra, last time Sam, the station owner, asked me, well, why Aramaic? Well, Aramaic, it was is written because of the constraints and the persecution and a lot of, I don't go into history here, but too much. But the difference in lettering, for example, unlike the English letter A, B, C, which is names, they're all names. It means nothing except in combination with other English consonants and vowel letters. Hebrew consonants have an inner meaning that is represented in any word root that the letter helps to make up. So, for example, the word ayin. Ayin means an eye. But the word ayin, the letter itself, ayin, also brings it down to the materialistic understanding of that word. The word shalom, for example, we all know means peace, but actually it includes in it totality, health, wholeness, harmony, balance, success. That's the root of that word. So when we speak whatever word, now, you know, I know it doesn't mean that you're going to learn Hebrew to start making meaning. You can make meaning in any word, in any language that you speak, because it starts with our perception. How do we perceive what is happening around us? And the perception is like going to a gym for your imagination. You know, we practice when we go to the gym. We are flexing our muscles, and when we are choosing to see things in a different way, then we are making a conscious choice to start making a change. So in a relationship, for example, I'm looking at my guest, her mic is not open yet, but I'm looking at my guest and she is giving me her nodding with her eyes. In a relationship, the difference between responsibility and fault, for example. I heard that a little while ago, and it very struck a chord in relationship. So, for example, somebody, you are in a relationship and somebody cheated on you. Right? We always look for somebody to be at fault. It's your fault. It's your fault that this is this. It's your fault that you did this, or that I feel that way because you've done this. I feel this and that and that. But there is quite a difference, and if we are not practicing isolating these differences, it gets all mishmashed, and we don't heal from our traumas. So a fault, it's not about somebody is at fault. Whatever that person did, if that person cheated on you or me or whatever in a relationship, they do that because this is how they handle their life experience, their situation, this relationship. That's how they do that. The responsibility of the feeling that I feel is my responsibility. It is my responsibility to feel good or to not feel good. It is my choice to look at it and say, okay, this person did A, B, C, and D. Does it hurt? Yes, it hurts because we have a relationship. There are a lot of things that we build together, and then this is like unexpected. It's like a thunder in the middle of the summer. It's like unexpected. But the responsibility is mine. It is mine to feel wholesome. It is mine to feel happy. What the other person did or did not do is their choice. It's hard to look at that this way, but it's not that we don't get triggered. We get triggered. And this is what I call the trigger time, true time. It is when we get triggered by what somebody did that triggered something, a wound or some kind of a trauma or a pattern in my life that I was, let's say, always being cheated on. And that triggers in me these feelings that I've experienced of rejection, of incompetence, not feeling worthy enough for having a wholesome relationship. So we get triggered. It is from the time that we get triggered until the time that we realize that we've been triggered. I call this chunk of time is this true time. When I realize that I've been triggered, then I can start working on, say, okay, well, why was I triggered? What did that cause me to feel? Why did this cause me to feel the way that I feel? And the more we practice that with conscious choices and communication and talking about this without the attachments of it's your fault or not your fault, just as the issue itself, that time shrinks. So from the time that I get triggered until the time I realize that I've been triggered, now I have the choice of shifting my perception, shifting my feeling, shifting my experience. When I studied and I was trained in NLP and CBT coaching and reality therapy, and one of the professors that I studied through, I didn't get a chance or the privilege to meet, is William Glasser, and he's an American psychiatrist. And one of the things that he said is that all long-term psychological problems are relationship problems. All long-term psychological problems are relationship problems. It took a little bit to kind of wrap around that and to really understand and to internalize that. Relationship doesn't mean only relationship between you and me. First of all, starts with a relationship to myself. that brings back to the sentence, to the prayer that I started in the beginning, love the person near you with the same expression that I love myself. So it is. So the focus here, while in the beginning I believe that the focus is on the other person, and that is true, but the focus is first of all on me. It's kind of like a backdoor psychology in Hebrew. It's everything kind of around. But it's, if I cannot see that everything that I experience is only an experience, that it is not me, it is my choice of experiencing, then what I omit to the other side, what the energy that I project, that's what the person is going to get. And so it is a relationship between me, myself, to create these moments of beauty and awe that will engender love, first of all to me, then to the other, the community, and then sky is the limit, to the world. So we have the choice to choose how this day is going. So how are our actions are being affected by our choices? And so that's really something that last week I had my ex-wife here, and she raises her eyebrows. Last time I had my ex-wife here, and it was very interesting. It was very interesting because in this setting of sitting in a radio station and having the person sitting in front of me without not in a more daily relationship, daily communication, it was interesting to see how our communication has shifted. Started with a few years ago with my perception and then calling up and that kind of thing, those details. But it really shifted our relationship because my relationship and her relationship separately changed, shifted. And So this is something that if you've experienced that and you want to share, beautiful, share this, ask a question, call. Before I introduce this the lovely lady, wonderful, talented woman that is sitting here, I want to tell a story about from Rabbi Dressler that really is bringing a very simple concept. When people meet, most of the time you say, okay, I'm going to give to that person because I love that person. But in reality, the other way is true. I love that person. I love the person whom I give to. So it is when I give for myself, when I come to a recognition of who, what am I experiencing, the place that I'm inhabiting in myself of giving and recognizing what is in me, and then I give to that person, I'm invested in that person. I give to that person. I'm invested there. And therefore, the love grows. So many times when we meet people and we get excited and our need of connection, our need of belonging, which is another one of the 10 axioms that William Glasser is talking about, and it's also Kabbalistic and just everywhere, it's our need to connect, our need to belong to a group, to a community. When that is recognized, and when I express that, then I love the person, I love the people whom I give to. So I'm in La La Land, I'm in LA, and I got here about 2 weeks ago from Boston, 2 years ago from Boston, it is funny because if I remove all attachments, it is funny. But the funny thing that I've discovered here is the connection that is happening here. There are almost like the two ends, like the dualities of connection and isolation. And if you walk here in LA, you can see those two polarities of this expression and how people relate to one another. And so by giving, this is just a place of abundance. When we choose to give, when we choose to give regardless of what we get back, regardless of, do I get this interview, then I'm going to give that person this thing. If I don't, then hasta la vista, baby. It just doesn't flow because it'll get stuck. It's like trying to drive a car that has square wheels. You ain't going to go anywhere fast. And so giving into this community is, I've discovered, a much more difficult than giving in a community that is already giving. You live in a small community, for example. I lived many years in the Northeast, in Boston, and there giving many times is easier because the community there, or some communities there, are more together, they're more close in proximity. And here it's like a bunch of villages that are connected together. And that is why I brought Rachel Davidson here. Rachel Davidson is a talented yoga instructor, and she's created something magnificently beautiful here. And so this is really bringing together all these pieces that we start talking about, and it comes down to giving. And I love those whom I give to. So, hi, Rachel.
Hi. Hi, Elon.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Wonderful.
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Awesome. Hi.
Hi,
so
Rachel.
Good to be here.
Thank you for coming. Thank this you. Is wonderful.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Elon.
So tell me about this wonderful event. You're doing this as a monthly event, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now it's monthly, and I'm just... You know, I'm letting it give to me the energy and the feedback and the information that we need to grow. So it's called Elevate LA or Elevate LA Events. And I put on wellness events the first Sunday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
And my motto is always, the more you give, the more you get. It took a while for me to comprehend that, this sense of abundance. And of course, like all of us, we have our moments of struggle where, like, I just want to get without giving, and that would be nice. But Elevate LA came to me because I'm third generation Los Angelino, and I love this city, and I've seen it transform. We spoke of transformation
yes.
a lot in community. I've seen it transform a ton and in really beautiful ways and some in, you know, a little bit, some tragedy too. And that kind of, that's sort of the nature of the beast of Los Angeles because it's huge and people come here to create their life through word. We have incredible musicians, artists, poets, actors, yoga teachers. Sound healing is abundant right now, which I think is a phenomenal vibrational way of creating therapy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have a huge network of therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, just healers galore. And I thought, how incredible that we have this vast city where people from all over the world come here to learn, study, train, develop, and give their talents, give what they're most passionate about, give their themselves, you know? And yet there's still these, like, it's almost like this big barrel that's filled with water, and like the water keeps pouring in, but over time we have all these holes, right? So the water keeps coming, there's abundance, but this water seeps out. And right now our three constraints in this society is homelessness, the environment, and nutrition in Los Angeles, which is sort of ironic because we have some of the freshest, air by the ocean, and Santa Monica, Venice, Marina Del Rey has, you know, great environment. Then we have tons of resources and services. We're a very liberal city, so why do we have such a huge homeless crisis?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's now like 56,000-57,000 homeless people in our community.
Only in LA?
Yeah. In the past 2 years, it's been up by 25%.
Wow.
And then with nutrition, although we're known to be the most vegan-friendly city, I think, in the world, right? And we have the most yoga out of anywhere in the world, right? That's incredible. More than India.
It's like the Mecca. It's like the Mecca of...
And yet, I think it's, I could be wrong, like 35% or 30% of individuals in Los Angeles, this means greater LA, are food insecure. Food insecure means you don't know where your next meal is coming from.
Or what it's made out of.
Or what it's made out of. And then if and when you get it, like let's assume, okay, yeah, I'm going to get it. It might be calorie dense, but nutrition void. This is kind of funny. I was on a little road trip, and I never go to McDonald's. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just don't eat there. And so I went, and I ordered a salad, and my friend got a fish sandwich. And I think he was like, oh, yeah, I want everything on it. And she's like, well, there's nothing on it. It's just a fish and bread. And he was like, well, what about lettuce or tomato? And she's like, that's extra. You have to ask for it. And I thought, wow, they don't even give it to you or ask if you want it, right? If you just order it and walk away and you have your bag in hand.
And only fish supposedly
and bread.
Fish.
Yeah, supposedly fish and bread. And I thought, oh, my gosh, like if you didn't even think to ask, you would not even get lettuce or a tomato or anything. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. Anyway, so Elevate LA events, I thought, I know people who make music. I know people who like yoga. I know people who do interesting things like sound healing, and then I don't know them, but I know people who know them. I know people who do, what's it called, that kind of like slam poetry, you know, that kind of...
Yeah.
I feel very funny saying, like, what's it called?
That's okay. And I don't know what it's called. I don't know the term. I don't know the social term, but I know what it is.
And I know people that like comedy or do comedy. They make me laugh. They make me smile. And all of these experiences, you go to the Hollywood Bowl, other than the fact that the traffic getting there, but you go to the Hollywood Bowl, and I just saw Andrea Bocelli, right? Uh-huh. And you leave feeling elevated, lighter, inspired, hope, possibility. My favorite word, possibility, right? Mm-hmm. I don't mind that things aren't the way we want them to be, right? Speaking of, like, words, right, and creating your environment with language. You can call me up and say you had the worst day ever. You can tell me everything about your day. As long as there's a possibility that that day can transform, I'm fine with it. It's the moment that we just become definite with our words. Today was a bad day. All days will be bad days. Life sucks. That's when I'm like, oh no. You know?
Because then you're creating a vibrational quality.
Right.
You know, you're creating you're saying the word out loud, and you're hearing it back, and you're allowing yourself to be affected by these channel words. And your environment, because that's what you will emit outside.
Yeah.
And what do you attract? That which you inhabit.
Oh, yeah. The more we talk about the things that we don't want, the more we attract them. And the more we share this message with our community. So I do it. You know, we all do it. We'll, like, complain about something, or we... you know, share a story that is not positive, and we create that possibility for other people in sharing that. Because had you have not shared it with somebody, they would never have known that existed. So habits are hard to break, but I thought with Elevate LA, I could create an environment and a community where people get to show up powerfully, owning their greatness, owning their strengths, owning their expression, their words, and share that with people that are interested. And the coolest part for me, more than just we do yoga, we get sound healing, we have live music, it's all acoustic event. We're in beautiful spaces, it's pop-up locations, people are donating their time and their space and their energy and their food and their coffee, but that the other really incredible factor is that the money, the proceeds from tickets purchased, goes to support one of the three causes that we spoke about. So at each event we address either homelessness, or we address the environment, or we address nutrition services in Los Angeles. And so we're actually giving back. And the way the structures of the tickets go is your entry-level ticket gets you the whole experience. And the if you go the tier above, then you get other things like we have sponsors from Yoga Works or Flywheel or our coffee sponsor gives you a really good bag of their coffee, and it's you know worth its weight in gold. And
coffee is important.
Coffee is very important. I've got to work with so many cool. I get to work with you. You know, this is so cool.
Well, hopefully. Today, after the show, I have a sound healing event that, I didn't mention that. I use sound as a modality to raise the raise our vibration so we can hone in our energy and then we have the access to the tools to look at choices, look at thoughts, bring up things that we didn't bring up. So hopefully you can make it later on.
That'd be nice.
It's in Venice, yeah.
Cool. Great area.
It's a wonderful area. And then hopefully, yeah, I would, if it works out, I would love to participate. And I don't like the word donate.
Sure.
I have an issue with that.
Okay.
I mean, an issue. I just don't
it's
like...
It's not your favorite word.
Yeah, it's like, donate. Is just giving. It's just, you give.
Yeah. I call them sponsors a lot, but it is. It's Elevate LA is new. It's new for me. It's new to our community. So I'm still learning about the use of words and what they mean for people, for myself.
I appreciate that. Do you think that using the word donate keeps the receiving end in some kind of a victimhood?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that is a part of my my story is that I want people to show up feeling that they are actually taking action, that they're participating. And anybody who gives themselves to this event, and it could be by buying a ticket and showing up.
Mm-hmm.
It could be by giving funds. There I go again.
Yeah, that's okay. But you realize from the time that you said it till the time that you realize the time is getting shorter. That's good.
Yeah, that's cool. Look, what did you call that?
The trigger time, true time.
Yeah, the trigger time, true time. Oh boy. Okay.
That's okay. It's all good. we were operating from patterns. We're operating from patterns and from stuff that we're familiar with.
Yeah.
And those are things that...
Oh, yeah. And sometimes you don't even know what's happening.
You don't know. And we do things and we forgot why we start doing them. So this is a wonderful... So let me ask you. Something happened that brought you to the moment of realization. I mean, were you always coming from a place of abundance to come to this place of giving without the reciprocatory? Something happened.
A lot of things have happened. You use the word victim.
Yeah.
And I definitely, we all have our reasons to be one. I had really good ones,
We all do.
I had the best reasons to be a victim. And I didn't even know I was doing it, and I really, really, really gave myself, my power away. And it was frustrating as all get out, as you can imagine. Things didn't always go my way. And I really looked around. Our environment can be a resource for what's possible, right? You're like, oh, like, look at what they have.
Yeah, but that's external.
Right. And what I'm trying to say is an example, but ultimately what ended up happening was that instead of looking at that as a source of inspiration and hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at what is available to the planet, to the world, to anybody, right? If you see a couple that looks happy, oftentimes our immediate response is like, well, I'm not happy in my relationship, or like, I'm not even in one, I'm gonna be alone forever, versus like, wow, look at that perfect example, this is exactly what I want, this is awesome, other people have it, I can have it too, so I've made that shift. And ultimately what happened was there was a series of it's been a long time coming, but a series of events just shook the foundation that I had built.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, our victim foundation can be it's like a functioning alcoholic, you know? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I have my great job, I have my family, and then, like, something, you know, I'm going to avoid the SH word, but, like, the things hit the fan. And so that's what happened, and luckily I had somebody guide me to the light of abundance and really stood for what was possible for me and humanity and just wouldn't take the BS. Mm-hmm. And the minute that door was opened, it was so easy for me to just walk right in, which was really cool. And I embraced it wholeheartedly.
Yeah. It was just many times it's that hurdle of the beginning. It's you get stuck in the procrastination mode. And then I want to be there, but I'm not there. I want to be there, but I'm not there. Right. So it's like you get stuck in the head, but it's the action that many times will, almost all the time, will actually shift our thoughts, shift our perception.
Sure.
In Judaism, in Kabbalah, it's our thought, it's our action that will regenerate the thinking and the perception that will continue to feed that abundance or the lack thereof.
Oh yeah, I had it. Just changing your environment can be huge, you know? And you don't have to do much to do that. You can just literally shift your perspective. I'm huge on perspective. And when I teach yoga, a lot of times I'll remember, oh, we can change our perspective. And so in each pose, right, the direction of your gaze or your body, it moves, right? If you're mm-hmm. twisting to the left, you're looking to the left. If you're twisting to the right, you're looking to the right. So sometimes I'll infuse that mm-hmm. awareness, like, be mindful of where you look. Or it occurs to us that when we change the pose, our perspective changes, and that's very hopeful for me. And so and environments, definitely getting into action around our environment, right? Where do you want to place yourself? Who do you want to surround yourself with? Today I took myself to the beach, put my feet in the sand. I needed those negative ions. But going back to what you said, and maybe we'll talk more about it, but it's sometimes you've got to kind of hit some walls to realize, like, all I have to do is turn around, you know, and mm-hmm. look a different direction or walk around that wall. Mm-hmm. And we get really upset at ourselves. I was speaking with a lawyer. This was really interesting. And he said, people don't like lawyers because they're hiring somebody to fix a problem that could probably have been avoided in the first place. And I'm like, and that was really interesting, right? And so I was like, giving our power away, playing the victim, right? I can't solve this problem. Humans are problem-solving individuals. It's the way our brains work, right? So we can potentially see the problem in everything. And then you're giving your power away in some ways because you're saying, look, I can't fix this myself. I'm going to hire this lawyer to do it for me. And I mean, that's a great resource and a tool, in fact, like all of these, the plumbers, the doctors, mm-hmm. the sound healers, they're excellent tools.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just getting into action.
It will change. It will shift your...
Yeah. And allowing someone to give to you, right? Like, think about how cool that is to not have to be a lawyer or be a plumber, be a sound healer. We get to give the opportunity for someone to give back to us.
Yeah, that's absolutely. You know, sometimes with giving, with the receiving, some have a hard time receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And the expression that it comes through, having a hard time receiving, is by doing extra, by giving. So that giving, while it is giving, it is really coming from the need not to feel guilty about receiving. So it appears to be that the person is always just doing great and giving and giving and giving, but then the need, the basic need, just like being connected, being in connection, the basic need of being recognized is not being met. So there is a person that gives and gives and gives because they don't know how to feel about receiving. And when they do receive, they say, "Oh no, it's okay. I don't. No, it's okay." It's almost like a feeling of, "No, I think I will look better and I will feel better if I don't receive for myself." Mm-hmm. But this is an abundant world. This is an abundant existence. You know, I've who like me knows that I've been in a place of the lack of it. Because of my thought, because of where I come from, because of how I was brought up, because of the society, and because of the familial connection that I had as far as receiving, and if you don't receive, then don't give, because if you give, you are going to be in a loss. You don't want to give first, even as simple as a smile. Like when I go back to Israel, you know, I all the time receive that people are people tell me, "Oh, this is a horrible place. You know, it's really hard. You know, people are rough to one another. There is a lot of strife between people." And I can see that. I can see that because this is also a place I grew up in. But it's really it's. But I didn't experience it in all the times that I've been there. When I go to a trip or when I go for a visit or something, and every time I would go, it'd be for at least of a month, especially when I was doing some production there. I didn't experience that because I came with this, and at first I thought that something is up here. Is this like the paradox? I feel, is it okay? Am I being okay? Should I act like the others? But I was smiling, I would get a smile. Mm-hmm. I would say, "How are you doing?" People are surprised. They weren't expecting that. It is more so with my generation and the older generation. The newer generation is more evolved and has more an acceptance of giving, an acceptance of the expression of love. But I would feel that, I would see that. And I could not see that is happening, that people are not nice or that people are rude. I mean, I saw that. I experienced it, and I saw that with other people, between them and themselves. But when it came to my interaction with others, it was great. I didn't have problems in lines. You know, in Israel, it's like you have to fight for everything. There is this old concept that if you don't bang something on the table, you're not going to get what you want. This is like...
Wow.
This is how I grew up. You know, if you don't scream and you don't get, you're not going to get what you want.
I feel that way sometimes here.
Yeah, really? But you know, but you don't do it here. I mean, you may.
We just say hello, hello, excuse me.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. It's like driving in Israel is worse than LA and worse than Boston than any other place that I've been. If you can drive in Israel. You can drive anywhere.
What about New York City?
If you can drive in Israel, you can drive everywhere. I've lived in New York too, and I've lived in Boston. If you drive in Israel, you can drive anywhere. There is no blinkers. Blinkers don't exist, like signals, right? People don't use that. You don't know when somebody's going to cut you. You don't know when somebody's going to come out. You don't know when somebody's going to stop. You don't know anything. You don't know when the bike is going to come. And then they blame you and yell at you for, you know?
You know what this is reminding me of? Do you know that movie... oh gosh, Midnight, is it Midnight in Paris when I think it's Owen Wilson teleports to...
And then he gets
to go back again, and he has this nostalgia
for
this other world, right? When everything's better, the writing is better, the food is better, you know, and you go there, and then there's Hemingway, and he's... Oh, complaining that 100 years ago things were better, the writers were better, you know.
Yeah.
And anyway, I feel like we do that here, we do that now in this era, of course. And I'll hear some, you know, Zionist Americans speak about Israel like everything is better there, you know. And then I hear your perspective, and I'm like, oh, we're
back.
Well,
no, there are great thing. I love Israel, and I'll probably be there. You know, people ask me, "Is this your home in America?" Oh, now when I come back into the airport, they say, "Oh, welcome home." I said, "No, this is only the place I live in." Hmm. So, well, where is your home? I said, "Well, I tell people wherever you want to be buried, that's your home." Hmm. You know, it may be too dramatic, but I'm a dramatic person sometimes. You know,
I like morbid humor.
Yeah, no. So I that's mine. But that goes into the connection. I want to bring it back into the connection, of how are we connecting to yourself. So you feel mm-hmm. that this is a question in the form of a statement. Okay.
Okay.
But you feel that you're more wholesome when you give. How do you feel about that?
There's a feeling, maybe it's different for everyone, around having gratitude.
Mm.
And I think part of being grateful is the expression of gratitude.
Mm.
And that expression of gratitude perhaps is the giving. Like, I am so grateful to have this city be my home. And so for me to express my gratitude to Los Angeles, like, how cool is this that I have developed this incredible yoga career,
mm-hmm.
Where I get to do and teach the thing that I'm so passionate about, that I do well.
Mm.
How do I express my gratitude to Los Angeles, right? Oh, create Elevate LA.
Mm-hmm.
Or my aunt who coordinated this whole Andrea Bocelli of the Hollywood Bowl thing,
mm-hmm.
right? So I can like feel the wholeness of gratitude in my heart and in my body going, wow, that was spectacular. And it brought me to tears and it opened my heart. And I can pick up the phone and share with my aunt how much it meant to me,
mm-hmm.
and give her that message, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or coordinate a lunch with her where I sit and have a nice conversation. So the giving is almost like the action around the sensation
mm-hmm.
of feeling whole or feeling grateful, and that's our expression of love, right? And going back to what you said about the love, and so you can do it backwards. You know, you could be like, oh, I feel really crummy today, so I'm like going to give something away. But that's almost compulsory, you know,
mm-hmm,
like I have to give because I don't feel enough. And but it's like if you can feel that gratitude and that sense of like, oh, like I really am appreciative, and I really took that in, or I really see how wonderful LA is despite some of these holes in the barrel. So I'm from that place, I'm going to express my gratitude and give. So
that's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, but and the action. Also, if you don't feel, you get up in the morning and you mm-hmm. feel like a balloon that doesn't have the air in it, right? But the action, you push yourself. It's like sometimes you don't want to go to gym, right? You feel horrible. You don't want to go to the gym. But the actions of pulling yourself and pushing yourself, remembering the end result, will start stimulating in your head and in your mind and in your neshama, will start moving this wheel, start turning this wheel around. And then it's like, oh yes, I remember this feeling. This is great. And then it is, you feel how you sounded like now.
Yeah.
I feel great. So, why don't you say, when is the next event and the website and all this stuff?
Yeah, the next event for Elevate LA events is July 1st.
Okay.
They're the first Sunday of every month.
Okay.
I'd love to have you there because we have my friend Nacho Aramani, who is a 100 instrument composer and neuroscientist.
Mm. Mm.
And he's only here for a very limited time because while he does live in Los Angeles, it's not his home.
Yeah.
And he travels all over the world for conventions, seminars, universities. And so this was the time he was available. And this is when he'll grace us with his presence.
This is great.
He does these song circles.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to percussion with our body. We're going to use our voices making these
wonderful
sounds. So all of this is happening the morning of July 1st. And that's a Sunday. And it's 9 to noon. Tree People is an environmental organization in Los Angeles. We will be donating to them, and they will be giving us a message of hope. Not donating, but giving. And our last event, we raised about $1,500 for the homeless.
Wonderful.
And the next event will be addressing nutrition services. So tickets are on Eventbrite. If you go either to my website, there's a page.
What's
there.
What's your website?
It's www.rachel. the biblical way, R-A-C-H-E-L, Davidson, like the motorcycle, .com. And then there's Elevate LA on there. You can click on that button, and it'll route you to Eventbrite. I'm pretty sure if you just go on Eventbrite and you write in Elevate LA events, you'll find July 1st event.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's Rachel Davidson or Rachel Davidson Yoga?
Oh, sorry. RachelDavidsonYoga.com.
Yeah,
oh, boy. Ooh.
Boys.
Don't forget the yoga part.
RachelDavidsonYoga.com.
Yes.
And so this, that's okay. That's why I'm here.
That's what I was going to say. Oh, my gosh.
This is great. Giving. I didn't mention that, but one of the tools that... that I use is sound and vibration.
Mm-hmm.
We are made of sound, we are made of vibration, we're made of frequencies. Each part of our body has a frequency. Sound is the ultimate medicine because it heals on the cellular level, on our body, and on our emotional level. So when you come to an event, either Elevate LA or you come to one of my events, it is a different experience. And people ask me, well, what should I expect? I said, well, think about going to a restaurant and looking at the menu. You can know everything about the dish, but until you taste it, you really don't know.
Mm.
So nobody comes out of it the same. And I'm not saying it, I'm just saying from feedbacks and from what I've experienced from other people. So Elevate LA, Rachel Davidson, the biblical way. And yes, this is Ilan Azulay, and I'm here to talk and to guide and to bring tools of expression to healing and to healing of yourself and love. And love is also an expression. Love is an expression that ultimately brings into unity, achdut. And the next program or two, we'll talk about what is the core essence of creation, according to Kabbalah and according to how we feel. That is unity. It brings us all unified into one another. But we'll leave you with love and acceptance. Love is not only love to yourself, but love to your other person, to the person near you, whether you are in a relationship. Patience, acceptance, love. Thank you, Rachel, for coming.
Thank you for having me. This is wonderful.
It is great. It is great. And I'll leave you with a love song, also by Matti Kaspi. He's my mentor, and I've learned music. I'm a musician. I learn music through his music. And so I'm going to leave you with that, and I will see you next week. And if you want to go to check out more about what Rachel does, it's racheldavidsonyoga.com. And on my presence on the web, it is facebook.com/bodysoulsound. And I will see you or talk to you next week. A tout à l'heure.
לא מסומן